Great. Friends, I want to invite you to just extend your hands. We'll do our usual blessing here. Here we go.
We bless you as you share your gifts of spirit, light, and insight. We welcome you with joy. We do welcome you, Dave, and everyone knows you. That's why they're here. Everyone knows and loves you. That's why we're here. But I wanted to remind everybody about you. You're a psychotherapist and a teacher and a writer and a workshop leader whose work emphasizes the benefits of mindfulness and loving kindness and personal growth and emotional well-being. Dave combines Jungian, poetic, and mythic perspectives with the intention of integrating the psychological and spiritual. And he's written many books, including By Your Side and How to Be Adult in Love. The one we're talking about today is right here, Sweeter Than Revenge. There you go, Dave.
Thank you. Is there anybody in the group who never retaliated in your entire life? Would you raise your hand? Okay. Well, nothing to be ashamed of. This is just part of being human. And I've never asked that question and had one hand go up, including mine. It's just become, in the course of our life, it just became an automatic and unquestioned response. We never thought we should bring it to conscience. We never thought we should ask ourselves, is this really how I want to live? We just figured this is all part of how you teach people a lesson and make sure you let them know that they can't walk all over you. And this is how you show that you have some strength. And all of that is true, of course. The purpose of my book is very simple. It's to show that there's another way of responding when people hurt us or offend us, betray us, take advantage of us. That does not include the retaliation, and will just automatically feel better in your own conscience. You'll like yourself more when you have a way of responding that also does work, but at the same time does not have that petty feeling of, I'm going to do to them what they did to me. Now, I know you've read the introduction, first two chapters, and what I'm going to do today is give an overall picture of our topic. So I'm going to go ahead and share the screen. And I think what we'll do today will be very helpful in getting the kind of overall picture. So, first of all, I wanted to show you the original title, the title that I chose for the book. This is the title I chose, From Payback to Love Them. But the publisher didn't like this. To California. That's the answer I got. So they went to this, Sweeter Than Revenge. Of course, it's based on the saying, revenge is sweet. And this is the title now. Now, The phrase revenge is sweet. We've heard all our lives, and we've even said it. Let's take a look and see where this quote came from. Here it is. Revenge is sweet. Now, what I'm going to have someone do is read the original actual quote. Iana, would you like to read? Iana, can you hear me?
Yes,
There you
I
go.
can hear you now.
Yeah.
Revenge, at first though, sweet, bitter ere long, back on itself recoils. John Milton, Paradise Lost.
So there it is. It's from a famous poem called Paradise Lost by John Milton, British poet. Best poet in English after Shakespeare. And let's see what he actually says. Revenge, at first though sweet. But we say revenge is sweet. So we left out the words at first though and put in is. So he's saying, he's agreeing, yes, it feels sweet when you first engage in it. But sweet turns to bitter very quickly, ere long. Ere means before. Before long, what was sweet turns out to be bitter. Not only does it turn out to be bitter, but it comes back and hits you back on itself, recoils, either because the other person now comes back and continues the retaliation, or because you yourself feel kind of the ricochet of the aggression. Revenge is aggressive. Yeah, an interesting thing about this quote is the part of the brain that is affected by revenge, the part that lights up is the same part that lights up when you feed an addiction. You do something that makes you feel good, and it does feel good, but it doesn't last. This part of the brain has short-term pleasure producing. Somehow he knew that. Ere long, he says, he must have noticed it. So we start right here. Something in us was so attracted to revenge that we disregarded the actual statement and turned it into revenge is sweet. All understandable. Now let's take the word itself, retaliation, because we really want to see what this is all about. Alice, would you read this?
Retaliation. Do such back that was done to you. Note the pettiness in that statement. Retaliation is repetition, copycat, not a new self-designed response that is not creative. Retaliating is acting as if all we have to go on when we respond to hurt is what cave people had. It is acting as if there never were teachers offering us enlightened spiritual practices. No Buddha, no Christ, no Saint Francis, no Gandhi,
No Martin Luther King Jr., no Bishop Tutu, no Nelson Mandela, no Dalai Lama, no Dorothy Day, no Mother Teresa.
The fact that teachers came along in the course of history, that's a feature of evolution. This world can't evolve if all it has to go on is what the cave people did. We would never have become sophisticated. We would never have come upon the beautiful experiences of love and virtue. It would just have been dog eat dog. But people came along and said, no, there are alternatives. And you show these alternatives with practices. Now let's go back to the word just for a minute. So this is our English word, T-A-L, and it's from Latin. T-A-L is the Latin word for such. Re is the Latin word for back. Do such back as was done to you. Don't come up with something new. Just imitate. And the reason I'm bringing this up, I want to show that right in the word itself is a kind of challenge. Do you want to live this way? Do you want to decide on how you're going to act on the basis of how someone else acted, especially someone who doesn't like you? Any questions about this part? I'll keep checking in with you about questions because questions help us.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
What you explained about that statement reminds me of the Golden Rule, which says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yes. Yes. And the Golden Rule is another evolutionary advance. If we're going to survive, we want the golden rule. This is acting as if there were, I'm going to add that. Oh, did you want to say more about that? That's a very good point. Golden rule would be your own response based on how you would like to be treated. Retaliation is your response based on how you were treated. Or another way of saying it is, hurt can hold us hostage rather than free us to see what's in what the best is in us. That's what this topic is about.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, please.
This is such cliche, but it's just reminding me of the idea of hurt people hurt people.
Yes. Yes, you'll see that in the book.
Dave,
That's where the compassion comes in. Alice?
It's also making me think of the movie You've Got Mail, and I'm wondering if there isn't something that when we retaliate at a deep level, we just know it's not what we want. You're not going to get the response we want. You know, the in that movie, oh, I can't think of the actresses. Meg Ryan, her little bookstore was being overtaken. And her lament was she never, in the moment when she could, she never had just the exact response that she wanted to give, you know, against this, you know, Tom Hanks. And finally, she does. Finally, she has an opportunity where she, the zinger comes and she places it right at the right moment. And it hits the mark and it hurts him. But later on, she regrets. It didn't make her feel good at some level. She knew it wasn't her best self. So I wonder if there's something inbuilt in us that just automatically knows.
Oh, yes. Well, that's why he says, back on itself recoils.
Right.
That's what Meg Ryan found out.
Yes, she didn't like herself for having
And it
responded that
wasn't long, ere long.
way.
And of course, her next step would be apologize. I wasn't in my best self when I did that. I want to apologize. I don't want to be that person. This is the question of this class. At the end of this class, I'm hoping you will really look into yourself and ask, am I ready no longer to retaliate and be a new kind of person? All right, anybody else? Okay, Pippa, would you read this?
Yes. Why do we retaliate? To avoid, cancel, escape our grief. The hope of revenge shall hide our inward woe. Shakespeare, Troilus and, I can't say it, Tresica.
Yeah, Cressida.
Thank you.
I'm in a Shakespeare class and we were reading this play, and lo and behold, I found this one line from Shakespeare, and I thought, my goodness, this says it all. The hope of revenge, I'm going to break it down, put it into modern English. First of all, in Shakespeare's time, woe meant didn't mean trouble, it meant grief. So Troilus was hurt. And instead of just sitting down and crying and feeling the grief and getting appropriately angry and so forth, he turned to revenge. And he said, the hope that I will get back at the one who hurt me will serve me well because it will hide, it will cover up. It will make me not have to feel the grief that's inside. I believe this is the purpose of revenge. The purpose of revenge is not to get back at someone. That's just what it looks like exteriorly, but inwardly, it's doing something else. Since when you're hurt, you feel hurt. And hurt is grief. If you hurt back, you won't have to feel the hurt that you're feeling. You couldn't possibly think of an instance in which you were hurt, betrayed, offended, in which you didn't feel bad. That feeling bad is a form of grief. I'll say a little more about grief shortly, but for now, there has to be a deep look into what we're up to. It looks like I'm being strong because I'm showing the other person he can't keep doing this to me. It looks like that. But actually, something else is going on. The hope of revenge shall hide our inward woe. The cause of retaliation always hurts you. That hurt is the feeling of grief, and nobody wants to feel that. So instead of feeling our grief, we will turn against the other person. Instead of letting the grief go inward, see, we fend it off. The hope of revenge shall fend off our inward woe. So again, I'm going to ask myself, is this what I want to do? Do I want to fend off a feeling that I'm actually having? And revenge will help me do it. Think of some time when someone hurt your feelings. Didn't you feel sad? But if you jumped right into getting back at the person, the sadness went away temporarily. It went into the part of the psyche where all those repressed feelings are sitting, going all the way back to childhood. Is that what you want to add to? These are the kind of questions that we ask ourselves. This topic seems very flat, but it's not. It's very deep, as we'll see. Questions about this part? I want to give one more example. At the end of World War II, Germany, of course, was in terrible straits. All these destroyed buildings and so many places bombed out. With our help, they went straight to work rebuilding the cities. Now, that's a very appropriate thing to do. But I thought to myself, as I was writing this book, I thought to myself, what if that is also a way of avoiding the grief? If I can rebuild it, it's as if it never happened. I'm not saying that's what they were doing, but it seems like that fits. You just start doing something that, keeps your mind occupied. And then you won't have to feel the feelings. So ask yourself, are there other things I might be doing that are meant to avoid grief? Okay, Kate Dean, would you read this?
It is a given of life that people will sometimes cause us harm, betray us, hurt our feelings, offend us, disrespect us, cross our boundaries. We then have three main choices. Do it back to them, don't do it back to them, follow the golden rule using a healthy program like this. One, pause to feel the appropriate feeling. That is grief, sad, angry, afraid. Two, say ouch to the offender. Three, ask to open a dialogue. Four, forgive and reconcile, continuing the relationship on a better footing, or if dialogue is not possible, discontinue or demote the relationship. That is, let go with goodwill or keep relating, but at a courteous rather than close or deep level.
Thank you, Kate. So first of all, living in a world like this one where other people are around, and closeness always means that we occasionally scrape each other rather than pet each other. People are going to do things that we don't like. People are going to harm us, hurt our feelings, and so forth. Then we have three main choices. We can retaliate, do it back to them, or we could not retaliate, don't do it back to them. Or we could go with the golden rule someone brought up before. And we could use a healthy program that not only doesn't do it back to them, but tries to work towards some kind of reconciliation. And it will always begin with the pause, just as we began our program today with the pause. What am I really feeling? And the answer is always the same, grief. What is grief? It's a combination of three unpleasant feelings. I'm sad about what they did. I'm angry at them for doing it. And I'm afraid if I don't retaliate, they'll keep doing it. So we pause and let ourselves feel that. Now we turn to the actual offender. And we're going to say, ouch. Hey, what you just did, I want to let you know how it felt at this end. My feelings were really hurt when you said that or did that. This is going to take assertiveness, hard to do, and most people are going to stop right there. Very few people are going to do the two, three, four. Farthest they're going to get is one, or they might stop right here, do it back to them. You can stop here, or you can stop here. Don't do it back to them. Or you can do as many of these as possible. All of this you'll see throughout the book. And of course, once you say, ouch, you want to open a dialogue, let's discuss it. You must have been angry at me about something, so let's talk about that. Ultimately, it's going to lead to forgiving and reconciling. Forgiving doesn't mean excusing. I'll be talking about forgiveness after this. But you want to find a way to continue the relationship on a better footing than it was on before. And now here you have a choice. If they're willing to have a dialogue, you get continue the relationship on a better footing. If they don't want to have a dialogue, then you're going to have to discontinue or demote the relationship What does that mean? Let go with goodwill, or keep relating, but at a courteous level rather than close or deep level. Once it's clear that you can't go deep with somebody, we don't exclude them from our life. We simply talk nicey-nicey. Questions?
I would like to say something.
Hi, Josie. Go ahead.
What I'm hearing, and before you use the word reconcile, I was thinking about that word because I really think that the reconciliation is within oneself, one's ego. Are we able to reconcile that issue within ourselves that gives us the self-esteem that we wish we could continue on with, versus making the dialogue, the problem, the other person? I think that's almost secondary, because I really do think that we are as strong as we allow ourselves to be. And so if we could reconcile our own ego, our own sense of wellness, then we can, perhaps we can just use that relationship as a learning tool and continue our own strength and our own self-esteem without the reliance on what that relationship did to me.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you, Josie. Yeah, I mean, that word reconcile is the heart of the whole matter. And you know, when someone hurts your feelings, your first reaction is not to think about reconciliation. That usually comes a little later when you calm down. So that's the importance of the pause, the calming. Okay, someone else? Hi, Michael. Go ahead.
Morning, David. Yeah, two comments, and both in terms regarding terms that you have used here. The first one is "ouch," which you introduced many years ago, at least when I first heard it from you, and I found that to be very, very helpful. I don't always remember to think it, but I do my best when I am hurt. And that's among other things, that helps me to pause and not react right away and sit with that feeling, but also make sure the person knows. I think, as you suggested in the latest book, you can say it out loud, which I have done, or just through your expression or your body language, let them know that you've been hurt, but not do or say anything at that time. The other term you introduced today, which I really love, is demote. I'd never thought of relationships that way. I think probably my dualistic thinking in terms of, well, you either continue it or you discontinue it. But I love the term demote. And I probably experienced that over time, is like, okay, somebody I used to be really close to, but things happen and time goes on and they change and I change. And it's like, well, it's not as important a relationship anymore, and accepting that and going forward from there. So thank you for both of those.
Thank you. Yeah, for instance, there's somebody that you could just tell anything to, and that person understood, helped you work on it, held it with you, never judging you, never shaming you. Then a day comes when it's no longer like that. Now that person is shaming you, judging you, blaming you. You're not going to throw away the relationship. You learned an important lesson. I can no longer talk about these shadow sides of myself to this person. Now I just talk in a very simple, general way, the weather, the movies, etc. So that's called demoting. And that doesn't mean you're not still feeling the grief, but you're going to have to feel it on your own. And that is totally possible. Think of the Pietà, the famous statue by Michelangelo. You can picture it in your mind right now. That's Mary holding the dead body of Jesus as he was taken off the cross, and she's alone in her grief. You can do that.
Dave,
Other questions about this?
it's Catherine. The primacy of relationship and the continuation of relationships. People move in and out of our lives, different times, different things, for different reasons. So I understand of your idea of demoting the relationship, but sometimes I think it's sufficient to detach it. And sometimes you can do that not as a retaliation, but just as this is not the relationship I thought. And I'm not talking about, boyfriend, girlfriend, breakup. I'm talking about adult relationships where you just say, this individual is not who I thought they were. This is not the relationship I thought it was. In a friendship setting, I've had this happen, and I'm not retaliating. I have no emotion. I'm not like, you hurt me, I'm going to get back. It's none of that. And it's just like I have no emotional connection to the person. And it's not like it's just I so I think sometimes there is another way to do it, not way to do it, if it truly is. I mean, I'm not like I wish them well, but I don't remain in communication. If I get a note, I send a thank you for your note, but and it has no edge. So in that situation, it's not like I have to have a blood oath that I had a relationship I need to continue. So could you speak to that? Because we seem to, it seems that it's being presented as, you can, demote the relationship, or sometimes you can, what? Because I just think, what about that option?
I think you're adding another important element. What I have is just basic, and there will be many parts to number four. And you just brought one up, which I think is totally appropriate.
So thank you, because I
Sure.
was I absolutely know that it's not it yes. So and that's different than, so I'm reading, I'm like, am I, and I find it odd that I could so easily detach. I'm not that, people who know me know that, but it's like there is that option, and it is just like it's
Absolutely.
not there.
Yes.
And that's healthy. I mean, I'm not asking you to bear validate it's healthy. I mean, I'm saying
No,
it
well,
is healthy for me.
I see it as
Okay.
healthy.
Thank
Yeah.
you.
All right. Well, we've come to the time we're going to have our breakout rooms, and the question that I would like to have you look at is, in what ways do you take care of your own grief when someone hurts you? Someone hurts your feelings, what's your way of responding? And no judgment, just sharing at a very matter-of-fact, candid level. and then we'll come back and have a final discussion. Tim, are you here?
Yep, sounds good. Friends, we'll have about 20 minutes to have some dialogue in breakout rooms. I put the question that Dave just asked in the chat there. So, again, I'll have you in a group of no less than three, hopefully no more than four or so, in your room. So, we'll be back here around 11:10 PDT. So, have a good conversation. We'll see you soon.
Good to see all of you.
Well, we're all
Nice
back
having you
now,
with us.
Dave. Also, I don't know if you want to have any opening comments or if you just want to open it for some conversation, but.
Yeah, just want to. Oh, I want to just start with. I'm going to share the screen just for a minute, because during the break I thought of something else and I added it in. So I just want to have us take a quick look at it. On that number four. So I added something for future reference because it occurred to me that you might demote as punishment. I'll show her, I'll just no longer talk about anything that matters, anything serious. So I want to make sure that doesn't happen. And I put it this way: we let go with goodwill, or we keep relating. In other words, we end the relationship or we keep it going, but we make it a relationship that's courteous rather than close, and it's certainly not deep. For example, we use small talk, talk about politics, family news, movies, etc. This is not a tricky form of retaliation. It is simply honoring the new footing the relationship is on. You hurt me, and you won't have a dialogue about it. And you won't reconcile, and you won't even apologize. So it's hard to have the same relationship we used to have. So now it's on a new footing. I still love you, but it's no longer safe to share my heart with you. But my heart remains open to change down the road. If that were to happen, if what were to happen, if it became safe. Does this make sense to everybody? I want to be sure I get it right.
I think so. I think so, Dave, and I really like what you added there, and the other the thought it sparks in me is, and as I said earlier, I'd be like continue, discontinue, try demotion first. Unless if the relationship is toxic, that's one thing. But if it's just difficult, try demoting and see how that works for a while.
Yeah. But don't do it as a way of retaliating
Right.
because that's misses the whole point.
Right.
These are the alternatives to retaliation.
I really don't agree with it.
Okay. Oh, good. Tell me.
I think it does have the undercurrent of punishment. It's punitive. And in the same way that you may say it's not. But it is at the heart of that statement, it is punitive. And so, this kind of relationship that becomes superficial usually just doesn't hang on anymore. It ends. That's what I think. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but this is what I
Well,
think.
I guess we would have to look into our own hearts and ask ourselves, let's see, am I doing this to punish, or am I doing this because it's unsafe to do otherwise? And we would have to give ourselves an honest answer. If you're doing it to punish, that's retaliation. If you're doing it because it's no longer the relationship in which I can share at a deep level. It's unsafe. I'll feel shamed. I don't want to put myself in that position, but I don't want to lose the friendship. And so I'm just going to keep everything at a level that's safe.
I just feel
Movies.
it doesn't work.
Pardon?
Or the I just feel it doesn't work in the long run.
Doesn't work okay in the sense that the other person may not like the new arrangement.
True, because you're making that you're stating that position, and that is what you feel, but it may not move the relationship. It becomes static, and it I just think it in the long run it doesn't work.
Okay, other ideas? Would somebody else have an idea about this? To me, it just seems honest.
I have an idea. Can I share?
Please.
Yeah.
Yes.
So for me, how that it might work with some people and not with others, but I have recently had a situation like that where it's the relationship wasn't appropriate in the way of depth, and in coming to terms with that and finding my own center and my own peace with it and not being in fear or in contact in the way I might have expected. The friendship now has become very appropriate. It's not very deep, it's not very meaningful, but there are good qualities in this person, and it's not punitive. It's seeing it for what it is, and it won't be very often, and it won't be very long, and that's coming from my heart. It's not putting him out of my heart, but it's also not putting myself out of my heart. So it's made the
Okay.
relationship what it is, as it is, which is actually better than what it was. If that makes sense.
Yes, I like that very much.
Barbara.
I agree with Pippa. I feel that it can be an agreement between two people to shift their relationship into a less intense or less deep situation, verbal, written, psychically, whatever. With all due respect, without any retaliatory vibe at all. For example, my sister, who is on the opposite spectrum of politics from me, she is my closest person, and we still have an incredibly deep relationship. It's not superficial at all, but that's just a topic. We don't go there. And so it's respectful, and it continues on, and we know that our love for each other is way deeper than politics. And so I think any relationship that shifts doesn't need to be retaliatory if both people are kind of on the same page. Then there's mutual respect and loving kindness in your intention, if that makes sense.
I agree. I can agree with that.
Good. Okay. Well, it's interesting that this is the kind of topic that brings up very subtle issues. And you would always want to ask yourself, I've put this in now here that, is this punitive? Am I doing this to punish? I'll be damned if I tell her any more of my secrets. Is that why you're doing it? Then it's just plain retaliation. If, on the other hand, boy, it doesn't feel safe to tell her things I used to tell her because, she keeps judging me. So I just can't talk about certain things while retaining the friendship. Make sense? All right, well, let's go to what came up for you in your breakout rooms. I hope it wasn't just small talk.
Dave,
Kathy.
came up. Is this about hurt in the conversation. This idea that you are in a relationship with someone, but they behave in a certain way that's very uncharacteristic, you think, but then you understand, oh no, I had created a person, I created this relationship, not that I created this individual as who I thought they were, not in a retaliatory, but this person is my creation, which allowed me to then go, I can leave this relationship because this person is my creation. I'm taking full responsibility that I recognize, oh yeah, I didn't see that and I looked over that or whatever it is. And so therefore it's not like I lost that individual or I lost that relationship. I took took responsibility for my own creation. And someone else in our group had said, I know that one, I've done that too. So, and was able to detach from the relationship, wish the per you know, hold pray for the person, hold the person, but to, not have contact. I still am kind of hearing that these relationships are some like sacred vow contract that we've made, which, can't be unwritten, but I mean, that vibe of the relationships divine, defined by the individuals in the relationship. And so even thinking, well, if they're okay or we do, we're not always going to have agreements to either, I don't know, but that came up in our group, how we create our relationship and we create the partner in that relationship. And sometimes it's not who they are, and then they show us who they are. And if someone shows you who they are, believe them enough,
It
right?
might be quite a shock.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the nature of projection.
But we're doing it in a good way, right? I think all of us,
Oh, of course.
we're not like, yeah. And they don't even have to do something evil or mean or rotten, but oh, I understand. But that's what came up in our group. Two of me and myself and someone else. That was a familiar experience.
Okay. You reminded me of a quote from a movie, so I'm going to show it on the screen just for fun. But it kind of says it all. Let's see here. Where is my. Oh, here it is. Gail Campanella, would you read this? And try to put some oomph in it, the way Scarlett did. You're on mute.
Sure enough. Then I've loved something that doesn't really exist, but somehow I don't care. Somehow it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter one bit.
That is what you sound like when you're a survivor. Instead of, I'll get back at him for leading me into a fool's paradise. That is what you sound like. Not only do I not care, it also doesn't matter. And not only does it not matter, it doesn't matter one bit. I'm going to eat my projection. Was fun while it lasted. Now the heck with it. See, other people have had these experiences we're having. Right, somebody else? Alice? You're on mute.
Okay. I'm going back to that movie You've Got Mail where
She has the conversation with Tom Hanks, who put her out of business, and she says to him, "You put me out of business." And he says to her, "It wasn't personal." And she says, "I hate that. I hate when people say it wasn't personal. It wasn't personal to you, but it was personal to me." And she said, "If it should start, a relationship should start anywhere, it should be personal." That's what she said. And I thought, she's right. It wasn't personal to him, but it was personal to her. So, anyhow.
And being able to recognize that is all part of having compassion. How we're always asking ourselves, how does it feel at this end, and how must it feel at that end? That's what you sound like when you're becoming a person who cares about others and yourself. Retaliation cuts through that. It breaks the connection, turns it into aggression, which divides, separates, rather than maintains the bond.
Dave, doesn't that sound like awareness or walking in another pair of shoes?
Yeah.
To know what the other person has perceived the conversation.
Yeah. Barbara?
The thing that's frustrating for me personally is when the other party will not share how it is for them. I mean, I can project they don't give a bleep or they're afraid or whatever, but it's hard for me, having gone through a horrible breakup about a year ago, that I have no answers as to how he feels about it or why or any of that. I think it would be helpful to have, I can have a target for my empathy, if you will, if I knew what he's, what he's feeling.
Is he not sharing as a form of delay?
Retaliation.
Oh, okay.
I think so, yeah, and some anxious avoidant attachment issues and stuff.
I see.
Yeah. So it's, sometimes it's helpful to, like, from what you were just talking about, having empathy for how does it feel to them? Sometimes you don't know and you just have to, it's just conjecture. And so that can feel kind of ungrounded.
Well, that's a good example of the let go with love, but my heart remains open if you ever do want to visit our experience and talk about what you felt and let me talk about what I felt. And you have that option. Other than that, we have to let go.
Dave, we also talked in our group about how we were raised. I mean, I was raised in a home where silence was the retaliation. That's how my mom and dad communicated, especially my mother. It's just when she was hurt, she just shut down. And so those of us, including me, who were raised like that, we have a lot more work to do.
It's the silent treatment. That's another form of retaliation.
Well, friends, I know we're about at time also, so if there's not any final remaining thoughts,
Oh, okay.
close out.
Well, I hope you've gotten something out of this. I love sharing what I have worked on, and next week we're going to continue, and I want to talk about forgiveness. But if you could read the next two chapters, that will help.
I think it's the next three chapters. We have three, four, and
Oh, three. I'm sorry. And I just picked kind of the main points rather than review the whole chapter. So It's really important to do the reading. It enriches the whole experience. Okay,
Great.
Tim.
Thank you so much, Dave. We really appreciate you and your insights and your willingness to talk about all the things that you have written down. We both of us, our three of us in our breakout room talked about, we never thought of revenge as sadness or grief or anything that you brought up. So we're very appreciative of that. One thing I want to apologize for is the link that I sent out. It had some nice information from John Philip Newell, and it looked wonderful on my computer when I sent it out. When you got it, it was scroll, scroll, scroll. You had to go forever to find out what he was talking about. So I apologize for that. So let's, as a goodbye and thanks to Dave, unmute and tell him all that you think about. And goodbye,
Thank you,
everybody.
Dave.
Bye, Dave. We love you, Dave.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Bye,
Everyone.
everybody.
We'll see you all next
Bye.
week.
Chapter 3, 4, and 5.
Yep. Thank you.
Yes,
Thank you.
ma'am.
Bye-bye.
See you soon, guys.
Thank you, Judith and Tim, for setting this up.
Sure thing.
You're very
Thanks, Dave.
welcome.
Yeah. And we'll see you next week.
See you
Yeah,
then.
okay.
And we're going to see Kenlyn too.
Yes, she's going to get a computer next time.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.